What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Messages Podcast of Northview Church. We're so glad that you're taking the time to listen to today's message. Northview is a place for you to grow closer to God and to grow closer to others. We would love to meet you in person and then have you visit us at any one of our campuses. You can find a campus near you or get more information about Northview by visiting us online at northviewchurch.us. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hey guys, we are in week three of a four-week series called I Love My Church. Today I asked Kurt Broadbeck to talk about our family framework, but with more emphasis on what teenagers need from us as adults. I know that many of you don't have teenagers in your home, and yet I believe you'll find that today's message is relevant to your life because, guys, listen, we are all called to help influence and shape the next generation. Listen, at Northview, teens are not the church of the future. They are an essential part of the church today. And we want to do our best as a congregation at pouring into their lives. Kurt's been a part of our Northview staff now for the last 15 years. He started as our junior high pastor at the Carmel campus for 7 years and then became our high school pastor for the next three. The last 5 years, he's been the family ministry pastor and works with the children's directors as well as the student pastors at all of our campuses, as well as our parenting ministries for all of our campuses. Kurt's married to Brooke and they have three kids. I can tell you, I love his passion for kids and teenagers, and he has a real heart to help parents step up and lead their kids spiritually. Listen, Kurt's the real deal. He loves God and he loves this church. And I believe we are very fortunate here at Northview to have someone like Kurt on our team. And yet, you know, last year I did feel like Kurt's message was a little bit dry and could use some help. So before he comes to speak, I've invited some of his friends to come and join me. Hey, guys.
Hey. Nice to see you.
We love the family framework here at Northview, so We decided to write a little jingle to it to make Kurt's message a little bit more memorable. So you get to play this to help us.
Cool.
Teenagers need to be known. Teenagers need to be known. If you don't learn our names, then it's you who will blame for life's problems when we get old. Teens need authenticity. Teens need authenticity. Practice what you preach or the wrong thing you'll teach, and you'll always be giving us loans. We're people too, yes, we're people too, although we are slightly confused. So give us our phones and then leave us alone. You know that we learned this from you.
You know, guys, when I was young,
teenagers, they need hope. Teenagers, they need hope. You scream at sports teams and the president's tweets. No wonder we don't like your shows. Teenagers need invested parents. Teenagers need invested parents. So raise us up right, give us kisses goodnight. And when you're old, we won't put you in homes. We're people too, yes, we're people too, although we are slightly confused. So give us our phones and then leave us alone. You know that we learned this from you. We're people too, yes, we're people too, although we are slightly confused. But our simple prayer is when we have gray hair, we end up as awesome as you.
You know, if you've been around Northview, Pastor Steve has said that before he went into ministry, he was in a Christian rock band. And I think we can all agree that he's a much better preacher than he is a triangle player. So, And I am so excited that I get the chance to share today. And Steve introduced me. My name is Kurt. And I have a wife. Her name's Brooke. And we just celebrated our 16th wedding anniversary this week, which is awesome. I love her more now than I did 16 years ago. And she's awesome. And we have some kids. Steve talked about that. Here are my kids. This is Corbin. He's 12. He just started 6th grade. This is Quincy. She's 8. And she started 3rd grade. And then about a year and a half ago, I come home, and my wife, she's standing at the top of the stairs, and she's got her phone in her hand, and she says, "Hey, can I show you a picture of something that once you see it, you'll never be able to unsee it?" And I'm thinking, yes. It has to be a dislocated shoulder or like a broken leg with the femur sticking out the side of it, you know, because that's what I want to see that I'll never be able to unsee. So I run up the stairs as any guy would, and I look. And it's a picture of a pregnancy test. And so, here's the picture that I can never unsee, right there. That's Keller. He's gonna be one at the end of this month. And you know, when you work in student ministry, you have to have pretty thick skin because they do things like get a hold of your message and then write a song to it and then ruin it before you get a chance to give it. The other thing that they do is they give you nicknames. And so for the last year, they've called me Father Abraham because God granted me a child in my old age. Just so awesome. But here's the thing about being an old parent. An old parent, you start to realize things you didn't realize when you were a young parent. And people always tell you, hey, you got to take advantage of it because life, it goes by fast. Well, I'm getting to experience that all over again. And you know, at Northview, we use an important illustration to kind of illustrate that time and how life goes by fast. And at the entrance of all of our kids' wings at all of our campuses, we have these jars of gumballs. And these jars, well, they're important to help us cast vision and to help us, like, raise a felt need in our life. Because we believe that when a felt need rises up in your life, it causes you to take action. And so each one of these gumballs, they represent 1 week. So when your child is born, you have 936 weeks with them before they graduate and move on to what's next. Fourth grade. How many of you have a child who just started fourth grade? Raise your hand. Be proud. Yeah, you have half the amount of time you started with. Think about that. By the time your child reaches fourth grade, half your gumballs are gone. When they get into high school, we're just over 200 weeks. By the time they get their driver's license, just 100 weeks left. When they enter their senior year, we're down to 52 weeks. Last week, I was in the home of a family, and they were getting ready to take their son to Purdue, and the mom said to me, "This weekend, I'm taking my last gumball out of the jar and moving it on." And we don't tell you that to make you cry, although it works. We say that because we like to say that when you see how much time you have left, it makes every week matter. Proverbs says it like this: "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." See, when we see how much time we have left, it causes us to act now. And as Pastor Steve said, I'm gonna talk about teenagers today because I believe that we are all called to invest in the lives of teenagers. And I know there's some of you here, you don't have teenage kids. Maybe your kids are younger. Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you're a grandparent. I'm telling you that whether you're a teacher, a neighbor, an aunt, an uncle, maybe you're a teenager. I believe that there's something for us today because I believe as a church, we are called to invest into the young people around us. Even the ones that don't attend our church, I believe we're called to invest in them because I believe that there is no greater time in a person's life for life change to happen than during their teenage years. To put it into a business term, the ROI, the return on investment, is greater at this age than any other age. And I thought, how do I illustrate that to you? How do I share that with you? Well, I came up with this idea. I love to lead mission trips. That's one of my joys as a pastor. I love to take people on mission trips. I love to take adults on mission trips. I love to take students on mission trips. Some people are like, "You take students on mission trips? Like you take 14-year-olds out of a third world country? You are a crazy person." And I'm like, no, it's amazing. You have to do it. It's awesome. But here's the deal. When you go on a mission trip as a participant, think about your priorities. I'm going because I want to serve the people I'm going to meet. My next priority is I want to serve the organization I'm going with. And then third, I want to see what God's going to do in me as I go. But when you go as a trip leader, here's what you're thinking. I want to take this group of people, I want to help them experience what God is doing in the world and figure out how do they get to be a part of it. Then I want to serve the organization. Then I want to serve the people. So as I'm going, I'm taking people thinking, how do I help them experience God so they can see what God wants to do in them? And I'm not saying this is true with all adults, because I know our church is full of adults who have had radical life change because they met Jesus. But it's harder. And most of the time when I take an adult on a mission trip, the words that I hear at the end of the trip are this: I wish I could do more. And we mean it, but we can't. I wish I could give more, but I have so much debt in my life. I bought a house that I could afford, but it doesn't give me margin to do much else. I have credit card debt. I have a car loan. I have student loans. I wish I could do more, but I can't. You see, as adults, we set up systems in our lives. And these systems, some of them are based on values. Others of them are based on poor choices. Some are based on life circumstances. Some are because of past failures that keep us from taking a step forward because we're stuck with fear. And we have these systems and we say, I wish I could do more. I wish I could give more time, but I can't because my life is so busy. I wish I could maybe do something different with my career that would align with my passions, but I can't because I've spent so much time working into this career to build up to this. I couldn't start over. Contrast that with the student. You take them on a mission trip. They see what God's doing in the world, and they can say, oh my gosh, I want to be a part of this with my life. It doesn't mean they get called into full-time ministry. Very few people do that. But they can say, hey, I can choose a profession, not based on how much money I'm going to make, but based on how God has wired me and what he wants me to do to give me margin to be used by him. They can view dating not as like a scavenger hunt to find like the best-looking person that will pay attention to them, but like actually as like, I want to find somebody whose values line up with me so that we could be on mission together for God. The investment that we put into our teens, it's huge. And that return on investment can even be bigger. So today, as I share, whatever your context is, just be thinking, what investment can I place on teens? Whether you're a parent or a neighbor, whether you're a coach or a grandpa, whether you need to get involved in serving here at the church, what's your next step? Let's pray, and then I would jump into what teenagers need from us as adults. God, thank you for those that are here. God, I believe that you're gonna speak to us. I believe that your Holy Spirit's gonna speak to each one of us individually and give us a next step. So help us, God, know what that step is. In Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't pulled your notes out, you can go ahead and do that now and kind of follow along. But you know, 15 years ago, I started in student ministry here at the Carmel campus. And as I started, I was in junior high ministry. And I had about 60 students that were coming every Friday night to my junior high program. But we were getting ready to build this student center over here called North Beach. And as soon as we built that, teens started coming from all over. And within the first 3 months, we were over 350 students coming on Friday nights. It was overwhelming. I don't know where the students were coming from, but they were coming. And this one night, I'm standing there watching as this group comes, and they're dressed all in black from head to toe, and they're gothic. And you could tell who their leader was because as she moved, they kind of just followed behind her. And at student ministry, we wear name tags so that we get to know who you are and also know that you were there. So we have these check-in stations. And I remember watching them walk in. And as they walked up to the check-in station, the check-in lady, she was like, hey, you check in over here. And they were like, nope, too cool, you know, and walked right on by, totally disrespectful. And as they did that, the sixth grade boy walks up to me and goes, that's Kayla. She just got kicked out of school for creating a hit list. I'm like, oh, well, that's good to know, buddy. Thank you. I was like, all right, we'll watch her. We'll watch her. Well, that night, I'm outside, and as I'm talking to students, one thing I try to do when I talk to students is I call them by name. Because when you call somebody by name, you're saying you are not a face in the crowd. I know you. You have an identity. You're unique, right? So I'm calling students by name as I'm talking to them. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, this herd walks out, and Kayla is leading it. And she gets right to where she's gonna walk past me, and she hears me calling students by name, and she stops and she looks at me and she says, you don't even know my name. To which I said, yeah, I do, your name's Kayla. She kind of looked at me, she looked down for her name tag, realized she was still cool, looked up, was like, oh, good. And then she, how did you know that? And I lied. You know, as a pastor, we're not supposed to lie. But I felt like saying, well, Homeland Security called, and they didn't, you know, and it didn't feel like the right thing to say in the moment. So I said, oh, I know everyone's name. But that moment changed everything for me and Kayla. Because Kayla came every week. And not only did she come every week, her group continued to grow every week. And as they would come, she'd walk up the stairs, and she'd come over and she'd introduce each student by name to me. And many of those students came to know Jesus. It's awesome. What do teens need? First thing, they need to be known. What about them needs to be known? Their name, right? I already said that. A name says, hey, you're not just a face, you're a person, you have an identity, but they need more than that. They need you to know where they live. Not just their physical address, although that may help, but what I mean by that is they need you to know their context. They need to know what they come from, their backstory, maybe what their family's like, what they're involved in, what they've experienced, but they need you to know more than that. They need you to know what they've done. Teens love to be celebrated. They love to be told how great they are for all of their accomplishments. But you know what they actually need more than being celebrated for accomplishments? They need to know that if they did something that was wrong, if they made mistakes, you wouldn't leave. That you'd still choose to accept them. That you'd still choose to be near them. You'd still know them. And they need you to know what they can do. They need somebody who believes in them and says, oh my goodness, you can do incredible things. I think about these students that were up here leading worship. That moment for them to get to lead you in worship, that a church would believe so much in them to say, look what you can do. What is that gonna do for them to realize that people believe in them at that age? I just think it's awesome. And you know, I didn't come up with this. A guy named Reggie did, but actually he didn't come up with it. A guy named Jesus did. If you look at Luke chapter 19, there's a story about a guy named Zacchaeus. Everybody knows who he was, right? He was a wee little man. Wee little man was he? Okay. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector. He was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked and he said to him, Zacchaeus, he called him by name. The whole crowd's all around, but he notices one face up in a tree and he says, I know you. You're not just a face in the crowd. You have a name, you have an identity. Your name's Zacchaeus. And he says, come down immediately. I'm gonna stay at your house today. Hey, come down here. I need to go to your house. I wanna see your context. I wanna get to know who you are because you're important. You matter. I wanna see where you live. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people, they saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. He knew he was a cheat, a liar, a tax collector. He knew what he had done, but he said, I still want to come to your house. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm going to be with you. But then Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. You may think, all of you over here that aren't tax collectors, that people think are really religious are great. This man too, even though what he's done, I see what he's capable of, and he also is good, just like you. Our teens, they need us to know them. Here's the problem. We live in a world where we've distorted what it means to be known. We think being known means that we are famous. You know, social media has promised that we can be connected to everyone. We can have 3,000 friends on Facebook, get 600 like followers on Instagram, and somebody might retweet your words every once in a while. But then you put down the phone and you realize you're all alone. There is a crazy comparison trap that our teens are stuck in. They know when they didn't get invited to the party because everybody else posted about it and they can see they weren't there. They know They know where they fit on the whole social hierarchy because they could post the same picture of the same shoes and she posted that picture and I only got 15 likes and she got 85. They get to see everybody smiling and happy and all these great families, and then they look around and they realize there's not as many smiles around me. And they quickly know, man, I'm lonely. And anxiety and depression and loneliness is shooting way up among our students. Did you know that last year there was a survey done of 6 through 17-year-olds? And they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? 34% were in agreement. That's 1/3 were in agreement. They all wanted to be the same thing. You know what it was? A YouTube star. They said, you know what I want to be? I want to be famous. I want to be known. And they live in a world where they've actually seen that one viral video could take you from nobody to somebody real fast. And it's their desire. But it's not real realistic, is it? Not all of us are going to be famous. And to think that that is what it means to be known is wrong. Kristen Ivey, she's a researcher for the Rethink Group in Orange, she says it this way: nobody needs to be seen by everybody, but everybody needs to be seen by somebody. That's what our teens need. They need somebody. They need somebody who's going to go to them and say, I see you. You know, in kids ministry, we talk about ratios all the time. We say you need a 1-to-5 ratio. We need one adult for every 5 kids. We need to be pouring into these kids and we need to make it a safe place. Here's what I'm telling you our teenagers need. We need a 5-to-1 ratio. We need 5 adults who are willing to be authentic and to love and to care and to get to know our teens. There's some action steps out of this. I don't know who you are in this room. Maybe you just need to get involved in serving. You could do that today. Our kids and student pastors, they would love to talk to you about that. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Well, today's the day. Sign up. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're going, you know what? As the teen years came, I feel more and more distant from my kid. And sometimes I'm like, I don't even know who they are. Well, maybe it's time to reengage and figure out, how do I get to know them? How do I get intentional about getting to know my kids? I don't know what your action step is, but hopefully there's something that can come out of that. All right. Kind of went way ahead of my notes, so let's just try and get back on there. Second thing teenagers need. Teens, they need authenticity. They need authenticity. The Bible in Matthew says it this way. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Pastor Steve tells us all the time, our kids will go more by what we do than by what we say. You know, a few years ago, I was leading a high school life group of boys. And one week, we're talking about dating. And this boy starts telling me, he's like, oh man, my girlfriend and I, we know each other so well, we trust each other so much. And the reason is because we were friends for so long before we started dating. The next week, he shows up and he's like, hey, Kurt, I can't stay the whole time tonight. I'm going to a bonfire. And I was like, oh, is it with your girlfriend? And he's like, well, no, another girl invited me, but it's not like that. We're just friends. And I said, well, then you're not going. And he said, yes, I am. And I said, no, you're not. And then he said, you can't stop me. And then we started yelling at each other in the kitchen, which again, I'm a pastor yelling at a teenager. Sorry about that. But I'm like, no, you're not going. And he's like, I'm going and you can't stop me. And he starts leaving to the door. And I said, fine. Said, you can leave, but you got to promise me you're going to do one thing. You're going to go out into the car, and before you turn on the keys, you're going to say, Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, if I should not go, convict me right now. And I said, and when he does, you're going to come back in and join that Bible study. I was like, that was a good word. So he's walking out the door. I'm like, yeah. So he walks out the door. He gets in the car. Not only does he peel out backwards out of the driveway, he does it the entire way down the street. And I'm like, okay, guess the word wasn't as awesome as I thought. Probably getting a mail letter from the homeowners association. I didn't think that was cool either. But he leaves. That night at 11:30, my phone rings. I pick it up. I should have prayed, Kurt. I should have prayed. I said, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I made out with her. Does that mean I'm a cheater? I said, yeah. And in my mind, I'm forming the next word. I'm starting to think, okay, here's what you got to do. You're going to have to go over to your girlfriend's house, and you're going to have to break up with her, and you're going to tell her you weren't ready for a relationship and that you made a huge mistake. But before I can do that, he says, is it hereditary? I said, what? He says, is it hereditary? He said, that's what my dad did to my mom. There it was. He didn't need a word. He didn't need a sermon. You know what he needed? An example. He needed somebody who was going to say, hey, I'm going to live out my faith in an authentic way. That doesn't mean he needed somebody who was perfect. None of us are perfect. He needed somebody who was going to say, I'm not going to make excuses for the areas of my life that aren't adding up to the way that Jesus wants them to, and I'm going to work on them. But when I do make mistakes, I'm going to acknowledge that I'm making mistakes, I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to try to move forward. Our teens need examples. They need somebody who's going to step up and say, hey, I want to be an example for you. And they need their parents to do that, but they need their church to do that. They need people in their church who are going to model what it looks like to follow Jesus. Third thing our teens need is they need hope. You know, many of us here, we realize that we cannot do life without Jesus. But I think a lot of the world is confused. What does Jesus do for us? Well, I can tell you this. Satan is out walking around this world. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. In fact, John 10:10 says it this way. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. You see, anxiety, depression, and loneliness, I've talked about that already with our students. It is tearing our kids down. It is destroying them. And hope comes from Jesus. Did you know that Indiana, the state of Indiana, we ranked number one in teen suicide ideation in 2016? And we were number two in teen suicide attempts. The last reported ideation report in the state of Indiana, so ideation, teens have thought about suicide and have a plan. Okay, that's what it means. So the last reported Indiana was 19% of teens said they had thought about it. That's double the national average. Our teens, they need hope. Verse says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You know, the moments that we're going through, when we have Jesus, we have hope. When we realize of Jesus' promises for our lives, we can see beyond what is happening right now and see the bigger, the upper story that Pastor Steve often talks about. We have an eternal hope. You know, the student ministry staff and I, we did a teen suicide prevention training called Lifelines about a year ago. And as we were doing this secular training, here's what I loved. As we got to the end of the training, they said, here are some preventative practices that we wish teens would do that would help them against suicide. And one of them was this: spiritual beliefs and practices tend to help people feel greater hope and connectedness and find meaning in their lives. Guys, we know it. As a church, we have an answer. It's Jesus. We need to help our teens find that answer. Maybe you're here and maybe your kid or your student hasn't been able to get connected into student ministry or kids ministry. Can I say, don't stop trying? Meet with the student pastor, meet with the kids director and say, hey, I need your help. How do I help connect them in community so that they want to come and learn more about what Jesus could do for their lives? They need to be doing that. And then here's the last one. The last one is teens still need invested parents. And I know many of you are going, well, my teen's pushing away from me. Do they really think I'm as important as their friends and all that? Study after study after study has shown that teenagers say the most influential person still is going to be my parents. There's some verses that tell us about our role as a parent. It says, so start your children off in the way that they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Ephesians says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And I'm telling you, to be a parent, it's hard. And there are no perfect parents. I need you to know that. I'm here as a family pastor. But if you knew how many times I had to get down in front of my kids and say, Dad messed up again today. I'm so sorry I got angry. I didn't act like Jesus. You need to forgive me. I'm trying to do my best, and I'm going to get better. If you knew how many times I had to do that, it would give you comfort going, man, I'm better than that pastor. Because there are no perfect parents. But that's why I love my church. Because Pastor Steve has laid a vision, and he says, I want this church to be a church that cares so deeply about families that if you have a kid, it's the only church you'd want to attend. And he's charged us to say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to resource parents? And that's why we've come up with what we call as the family framework. As you came in today, you should have received a brochure. In front of it looks like that. Inside, we start talking about that illustration of how every week matters. But I want to kind of highlight the three-part plan that we have to help you as a parent be invested in the spiritual lives of your kids. Part one, it's the home. You know, it is your role. We want to help you, though. We are committed this year more than ever to provide more and more and more resources for you as a parent on how you're going to be leading in your home. Can't wait to tell you about some of those as we're getting ready to launch some podcasts, some digital resources, some books that will be out. But what we are excited about is this thing called the Parent Q app. So if you have a kid in Northview Kids, we use a curriculum called Orange. So if you have a kid in Northview Kids, on your phone, you can download for free the Parent Q app. And what that's going to do is it's going to cue you to have spiritual conversations with your kids at drive time, mealtime, bedtime, and you can actually be cued. Here's another cool thing about being part of Northview Church. As Northview has grown, as God's favor has been on Northview, God has just used us to kind of be an influence regionally with other churches. And so we are getting to host a conference every year, and it's for this curriculum called Orange. And so the other churches will come here to learn and be trained by some of the most amazing communicators in the nation. They'll fly here to be a part of this thing. And in September, we're hosting that. But what they've decided is the night before that conference, they would love to do something for parents called Parent Q Live. So from 7 to 9 on September 26th. Now, I'm going to talk about a lot of things in just a second. So here's what I'm going to have you do. Because all of us are going to have a different next step. If you would actually get your phone out, go ahead. You can do that in church. I teach middle schoolers. They have it out the whole time. So you're going to text the word next to 85379. Just text the word next to 85379. What that's going to do is going to send you a link, and you can click on that link, and it's going to list all of the things I talked about, and you're going to be able to register for each one individually that you feel like is the next step for you. They may not all apply to you, but then you'll know when they are, where they are, everything that's happening over the next semester. One of those is Parent Q Live. Now, the normal cost for that is $25, but because you're part of Northview, it's half price. If you click the link, read the description, there will be a code, a promo code, that'll tell you what to put in there. Also, because I want every parent, birth through 12th grade, to come, because I think it's going to be such an incredible night, we're going to do free childcare for birth through 4th grade. So you can actually sign up, or birth through 5th grade. You can actually sign up for that. If you have older kids, they can help and help us with childcare. But I would love to see all of us here that night, because the communicators, the training is going to be awesome. Okay, so that's part one. We want to give you resources. Part two is the church. It's our responsibility. What are we doing to help you win as a parent? Every week matters. I already told you that. That's why we have some of the best kids, student pastors at all of our campuses. That's why we want to train them. That's why we take it so seriously. That's why we believe that you need to get your kid here every weekend, because we have a limited amount of time, but we want to do our best to steward your kids. And then part three, this is where we combine the church and the home. So we have a few things on that. The first one is something called baby dedication. Now, baby dedication for us is really a parent vow with a baby blessing. We're going to do a class for parents that we have always done, where we're going to talk to you about what it means to be a spiritual parent and then to make a vow to God. We're going to talk about the importance of that vow, and we're going to help you understand what commitment you're making for your kids. And then we'll get you up here on stage, and we're going to do a vow, much like a wedding ceremony, but where you actually get to say, this is my heart, this is what I'm going to do for my kid. And we do it in front of our church. Why? So our church can say, hey, we're going to support you, because we're not in this alone. We're doing this together. That's baby dedication. After that, we have something called the parenting game plan. This is awesome. I have some friends here at the church. Michael and Kathleen Hildebrand helped write this. And we have it in three different formats. So we have a part one class, which is a three-hour seminar, a part two class, which is a three-hour seminar, or we've turned this into a life group study that can be found online, and there's discussion questions for your life group, as well as parent conversations that you can have together to develop the game plan for your family. We're helping you define 9 different areas of family life and parent towards winning in each one of those 9 areas. You get to make your own plan through this. We have a part two coming up. If you haven't taken part one, that's okay. Jump in at part two. Part two is kind of the last half of the game plan, which focuses more on teenage years, because as they get older, you start instilling more like values and characteristics and stuff like that with intentional conversation. So that's part, that's the game plan. The next part, we have a faith commitment and baptism class. This is for parents. Again, we want to teach you as a parent. It's your role to lead your child to Christ. So you need to understand, what is God's plan for salvation? What is God's understanding of baptism? How does the church understand baptism and why you're supposed to do it, right? But then we say, hey, it's going to be hard for you to talk to your child in an adult way about God's plan for salvation. They won't understand it. So we give you a second book. This book is Tools for you to share in a kid-friendly way. It helps you use illustrations. It's got some fill-in-the-blanks for your children to understand salvation, to understand baptism. We don't do this so that you go home and be like, all right, it's time to lead you to Jesus. No, we do it so that when your child starts asking the right questions, you are prepared and you have the right answers to say, oh, I know this. Let me help you understand what God's done for you. In second grade, you got to see that today. In second grade, we do Bible presentation. We want to help every one of our kids start reading God's word. So the parents took a class about the canonization of the Bible, where it came from, how to read it, how it's laid out. And then we help them say, how do you talk to a kid about that? We know they don't need to know all of that, but they need to know how do they read it for themselves. And we want to help them do that. Then as they get into elementary, that's all kind of in elementary, but we have something called FX, or a family experience. FX, we do 4 times a year, and we do it, we kind of do them regionally. So this next one's coming up in September, okay? It's September 6th, and it's going to happen at 3 different locations, but it's regional. So I want every elementary parent and their kids to be there. It's a 45-minute worship service. In that, we're going to talk about what your kids are learning the next month in Northview Kids, and we're going to give you a widget so that you can have a spiritual conversation at home. And then afterwards, we're going to go out and play games. There's carnival games, there's inflatables. This year, there's a major focus on dodgeball. So if you've wanted to throw something at your kid for a long time, we give you that opportunity to do it in a legal way. And it's going to be awesome, okay? So you need to come and be a part of that. Now, you need to understand there's different roles in parenting. When your child is young, you are the protector. You're keeping their finger out of like light sockets and so they don't fall downstairs. But as they start to get a little bit older, your role switches. And now you're the teacher. Your kids are thinking black and white. And whatever mom and dad say, go. So if you notice, a lot of those are classes where we're saying, here's how you teach your kid. Now go teach it to them. But eventually that role switches and your kids start to think a little bit differently and their brain starts to form and there's a little bit more gray area. And instead of just saying that's how it is, we have to coach them. So we want to start to provide experiences for your older kids. And these experiences are giving you opportunities to coach your kid. So as your child reaches 5th and 6th grade, we do something called The Blessing. It's based off a book by Gary Smalley called The Blessing. And we rotate this every other year. One year it's for the girls, the other year it's for the boys. This year it's for the boys. It's going to come up in the early spring, late winter. And it's called The Man Event. And we want boys and their father figures. We know that not every boy has a biological dad at home. That's okay. We've had grandpas, we've had uncles, we've had stepdads, adopted dads. We've had moms, because sometimes a single mom's just awesome. And they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they're loving and caring for their kids. And so we've had moms come and be a part of the man event. But at the man event, what we're going to do, we're going to eat everything with our hands. There's no silverware because we're men. And sometime in the middle of that meal, somebody's going to stand up and say, men and young men, I present to you Corbin Broadbeck of Noblesville. And the rest of them will go, Corbin Broadbeck of Noblesville. And he'll say, and I'm proud of Corbin because of this. And then later, we're going to send them off to a private time where the dads just get to sit in front of the kids and say, hey, here is what I see you becoming, and here's why you are good, and I want to bless you. Our kids, they need it. We do the opposite year for girls so that every 5th and 6th grader gets to participate in that event. As they get into 7th through 12th grade, we think there are some conversations that are more important than others that are harder to have. One of them is pursuing sexual integrity. We do a thing for boys every other year. We just did it last year on pornography. There's not a man that wants to go talk to a young boy about pornography. I'm telling you that. But we want to do it in a way that makes it easy for that conversation to happen because it's so important. Because we believe that we need to help boys turn into men and not remain boys forever. And we think pornography and the way that it takes women and objectifies them and warps our mind and changes our thoughts towards others is really tearing our boys down. So we're gonna attack it. And we're gonna help you attack it with the boys. For girls, we have an event coming this year. It's called the Father-Daughter Ball. Again, if the father's not present, we're gonna make it happen. So don't hear that. But here's what we're trying to do. You know what every girl wants? They want a man who will fight for them. And we don't expect girls to always be perfect. We don't expect like to have this crazy like thing where we're thinking like we'll never make mistakes. But we do believe that when somebody is fighting in your corner, it helps you see the fullness that God has for you. And so we want to help these men say, hey, I want to be that person who's going to fight for you. And then we want to help the girls say, thank you. I want you to. So if you have a 7th through 12th grade girl, then we would love, love, love to see you in November at the Father-Daughter Ball. It's going to be awesome. We think identity is an important thing to be talking with our kids about. You know that our culture, our world, it tells us that our identity is based on what we look like, what we're involved in, or who we control. And none of those are from God. Our identity is who God made us. God said, I put my characteristics inside of you. And each one of us bear a different image of God. And that's what makes us good, that's what gives us purpose, and that's what makes us unique. But our kids, they don't know that because they're told it's not that. It's all these other things. So we're gonna do things to help them build their identity. Again, we do every other year. This year, it's time for our mudder-daughter mud run next summer. And you're like, mudder-daughter mud run? What is that? Oh, it's awesome. It's a 1.5 mud obstacle course here at the Carmel campus. A couple years ago, I was like, man, we gotta do something sweet for the girls. Actually, it's been about 8 years ago. The girls were telling me everything I planned for them is lame. And so, fine, I said, fine. So I told Marsha, the grounds lady, I said, what do you think about renting an excavator and digging mud pits on our property? And she's like, awesome. So we dig mud pits all over the property. We have a giant slip and slide that goes down a hill into a mud pit. They're crawling underneath tires and they're jumping over walls. We actually have them jump over fire at some point because that's awesome too. So the girls come and they hear a message on identity, but then we go run this mud course. And as they cross the finish line, they're covered head to toe in mud, and the woman gets to look at the girl and say, you are not pretty right now, but you are beautiful, and let me tell you why. And they've written a letter that we've helped them write that has nothing to do with those three things I talked about, but everything to do about how God created them and why they are good, and they get to speak truth into the girl right there through their words, and it's awesome. We want to help you as parents have the meaningful conversations. I wish I could go on for more and tell you more about each one of those events. But your parenting role changes again. You go from coach, and as your child starts to move on to what's next, you move into the last phase and you become a mentor. And so what we wanna do is help you as your child moves on to what's next. Again, if you just text next to 85379, you'll see a button there for moving them on to what's next, and you'll subscribe to an every 2 week communication that for the first semester, we're gonna send you prompts, things to ask questions to your kid, maybe experiences that you should encourage your child to have as they move on to what's next, because we wanna help resource you as your kids move on to what's next. You know, I'm gonna invite Andy to come up to kind of close this out, but before he does that, I feel like I just wanna pray for all of us that God would just reveal what is next. What's the next step for us out of this? God, thank you. Thank you for a church that cares deeply about families, about kids, about teens. God, and I believe you have called every one of us, regardless of our situation, to invest in that generation because they are not the generation of the future. They have something to offer us right now. So God, help us to know what you want us to do individually. Speak it to us. Reveal to us what we need to do next. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's podcast. If you have any questions or would like to speak with a pastor, please connect with us on our website or through social media. You can also find a Northview location to visit in person by going online to northviewchurch.us and then selecting the locations page. We're so glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great week.